Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. This is Atira, your host, and this afternoon we're going to kind of continue from last show because we had so many emails, so much response about talking about orbs and talking about energy and talking about all this stuff. So I'm excited to actually invite Mary Ellen Angel Scribe, so a lot of the listeners know, from Angel Scribe newsletter to work with me this afternoon, where it depends on where you are, so we can talk more about energy and some adventures that we've had lately. Hello, Mary Ellen.
Hi, Tara. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's fun. We always have so much fun playing together. So what we wanted to talk about is, because I had a lot of emails, tons and tons and tons of emails, so tons and tons of people are listening, which is wonderful. But we wanted to talk a little more about energy, and we did talk about orbs last week and a phenomenal picture that Mary Ellen had taken at a fire. For those who don't know, Mary Ellen's new hobby is her
chasing
husband.
Fire trucks and firemen.
Yeah. Her daughter and her husband are both volunteer fire people in her hometown. And Mary Ellen got involved and now is like their official fire photographer. So she's out taking pictures of flames and all these kinds of adventures with the fire department there. She got this incredible picture, and so I really want to mention, if you want to see the picture, you can go to our website, which is angelscribe.com. And it's in your last newsletter, Mary Ellen, correct?
Yes, it's the one that starts with John. There's a story about John in the hospital and a visitation that he has, and his wife actually sees the same thing, and she's in a room down the aisle from where his bed is. They have the same visitation. So it's in there at the top of that one. And what was amazing about that particular photo is it was late at night, and the fire alarm went off, and I thought, I don't want to go take a picture of a fire. I'm too tired, because I was always already in my fire red pajamas. And then they announced that it was our friend's store that was on fire, and both Atira and I know Debbie and Chuck, and I thought, oh no, I've just got to be there. And so I ran out there, and I put on my fire protection stuff over top of my jammies, and when I arrived there, I took a photo, and a part of it is the fire truck with the lights, the blue lights flashing and the red lights going, and in the back you can see their barn. It's a feed and grain store, and then you can see a firefighter walking away. And then between all of that, there's these orbs, and some of them are as big as the side window of the fire truck. Now, if anybody's ever ridden in a fire truck, it is so fun, but the window you get to look out of is like 2 feet by 2 feet, and that's the size of 3 of the orbs in this picture. And then they go all the way down to about the size of a dime, and they're just suspended in air. It's so spooky. Now, people say it's dust. Well, maybe, but the fire was totally out. This department puts them out so fast, I rarely get flames unless it's a burn to learn. And so then people say it was moisture on the lens of the camera. Well, if it was, why wasn't it there on the picture before and the picture after? That's the spooky part. And
well, I also want to comment on this, because I agree with you. I have the same argument so many times when people tell me, oh, it's dust, oh, it's this, you know, or it's that, or in a fire, certainly dust is kicked up. Ashes are kicked up, but you're in this picture, you can tell you're quite a ways from that, because actually almost the fire truck's between you and whatever's going on.
It is, true.
But the other thing is, too, if you shoot a sequence of photos, you're clicking pretty fast, and with digitals, you know, it's pretty amazing, it's pretty fast. I agree, it would be in all of those. If it was dust, it would be in all, some form of the dust would be in all of the photos, and it's not. I've looked at pictures where there's orbs, and looked at the negative, and the one before and the one after does not have anything.
Well, what spooked me about this one was that the lights that you can see are actually beaming off the fire truck don't penetrate these orbs. They're just suspended there with their own solid color. They almost have a nucleus. It's so funny. Kurt Schley, a photographer, friend of Atira's and mine, it's like these orbs have tummy buttons. They're bright white, and then it almost looks like snowflakes packed in around it. Then it has like a really solid white ring. And I was thinking, well, the cottonwood's in bloom. Maybe it's that. But then when Atira saw the picture, tell them what you sensed from your spiritual nature.
Well, it was interesting. First of all, she called me to tell me about these in the middle of the one show on TV I have to watch every week that I love, and that's the TAPS show on Sci-Fi, because it's about this kind of ghost phenomena. You know, they're always trying to disprove. Actually, I love them because they come from let's disprove the experience or the phenomena. And so at that particular moment, they were doing a special at an asylum, and I apologize, I can't remember the name of the asylum, where thousands of people went when the tuberculosis epidemic was hitting. And there was like 60,000 people who had passed away from this big, huge asylum.
Oh.
And at that moment, I was fascinated. I said, can I just call you back because they're showing these unusual things on TV? And she didn't know, but it was the orbs. It was orbs, but it was different orbs than I had ever seen on any of their other shows or any other metaphysical show I'd ever seen. And it really did have this kind of snowflake pattern, or like when you're a kid and you play with a kaleidoscope thing, you know, in the center of it. And it was very, very different. So I find it coincidental, again, that at the very moment I'm viewing the same thing that I later see when I open your email. You know, it's unusual. It's just very unusual. And Mary Ellen, how can you be spooked anymore? You've been around me forever.
I remember the other day we were doing something, and I felt the presence of somebody, and I thought, oh, I'm not going to tell Tira that I feel our dear friend Larry, who's mentioned in the Days of Wonder, that I could feel his energy so strong. I thought, she's going to think I'm weird. And then I kind of laughed at myself.
Yeah.
You'd think me weird. And it wasn't 30 seconds later, you just kind of smiled up into thin air and said, hi, sweet Larry, we love you. I went, oh, my gosh, I've been hanging around you too long.
Well, you know, I think like attracts like, and I do think the more you hang around people who are developed, the faster you develop. Because, first of all, it becomes your norm. It doesn't become something weird and strange and, you know, spooky, too spooky, although occasionally I get spooked even. I don't think you ever get to the point where this is a total norm, because you still get wowed. Spirit can wow you. I mean, you know, they're so much bigger than us.
Well, it makes every day an adventure. That's what I love about it. Well, like, for example, today, we're leaving for a big journey tomorrow to the International New Age Trade Show that's in Denver, and I know we're going to get a lot of guests for your show, so I'm excited about that, because they have musicians and authors and artists there galore that are metaphysically oriented. And so it's so fun to watch you, Atira, because you kind of look up kind of sideways, and I know you're listening to Dom, your master guide, and then I say, what's he saying? And then tell him what you said.
I don't even remember.
You said, Dom says to be cautious. It's so hard to be a psychic.
That one makes me crazy, when they have a generic warning, and it says, does it mean caution because cars? Does it mean caution? And we were on our way to bank, and the last time you said caution about a bank.
The bank was robbed.
Yeah, I missed a bank robbery. Thank you, God. Thank you, Dom.
It was so funny, because when we get to the bank, and now we're both watching literally to the cars to right and left in front of us, and this is Seattle South Center. It's packed with cars going every different direction. And so when you get to the bank, you laugh and say, I'm locking all my valuables in the car. Well, I was going to stay in the car, too. And then you give a cute smile, and then you lock me in the car. And it didn't dawn on me until afterwards that you were still going on Dom's guidance, caution.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when they say those things, you know, you have to go, you try and think of everything. Because sometimes it is like putting a jigsaw puzzle together, you know, until you get the right color piece in the right spot. Not the whole pattern or the whole thing comes together. And that is frustrating. That's the frustrating part for any psychic or anybody that has something, you know, happen. Mary Ellen and I were actually just in my office checking email. And I haven't checked my email, and I hate to say it, in about 4 days, because I've been a little busy.
That's because I've been on the computer, let's be honest.
Well, she's been on the computer. We've been typing, working on my book and stuff. But it was so strange. My breath caught for a moment, because on my email was a thing that says, I love you, Mary Jane. And, oh, my God, I just got chills, because what had happened is my husband's dearest friend from high school.
Like 50 years.
Called two days ago and said his wife was killed in an auto accident. And I thought, oh, my, I can't get emails from a dead person, although who knows, who says you can, I guess. But I opened it up, and it says, if I die tomorrow, would the people I say I love know I love them? And it was one of those forward, forward, forward emails. But it was like so I mean, ironic, ironic.
It's the last email
it's the last email she sent us.
Yeah.
And I will stay with it for a long, long time.
Because
I really feel it's confirmation saying, I love you, you know, in this moment and always.
And shortly after she sent that, she went to pick her husband up at work and was killed on the way because we checked the time of the email.
Yeah, so you never know. You know, that's why it's so important to say, I love you, I love you, I love you to everybody. Everybody that you really care about. You know, don't leave unfinished business. John Edwards talks about this, James Van Praagh, John Holland, all of them talk about this. How many people, I hope, out there were listening to John Holland on Coast to Coast?
Oh, that was fabulous.
He's fabulous, fabulous. And I want to remind you, on July the 6th, I'm going to get to interview him. I'm so excited. So if you have any questions, start emailing me so I can get all the good questions in, because God knows I could ask him questions for an hour myself.
And, you know, John isn't really, he's so busy right now because he's got that TV show coming out. So he is going to be busy, and not doing a lot of interviews. So Coast to Coast is big, and here he's going to be on BBS Radio.
We're so excited, yeah, and we hope to have lots more people like that, because BBS Radio, I have to tell you, is really trying to bring incredibly quality radio on metaphysical and spiritual subjects, and I am so proud to be part of it. John Holland does have two books out. He has Born Knowing and Psychic Navigator, and his website, if you want, so you don't miss the thing on TV, and I don't have that information, is johnholland.com. So check it out because you don't want to miss this special. It's amazing. They blindfold him and take him to different spots, and he gets the information.
Yeah, it's going to be on three times, and you know, one of them is going to be after his show on July 6th, too.
Yeah, so we'll mention again. So back to this energy thing. Cause
wait. He's going to be on Hay House Radio on June 24th, too.
Oh, that's right. There's a special on him on there. Yeah, because he has a new book coming out, and I think it's called 1 in 101.
Nope, it's his fourth book coming out.
Oh, is it his fourth? I missed one. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, don't miss John. So back to this energy thing, because, you know, so we were talking about different forms of energy. We were talking about apports. I've got to say that word right now. We were talking about spiritual communications. We were talking about spirit manifestations and ectoplasm, how that energy is drawn from the body. So it's really interesting to talk about. You know, everything is energy. Everything we touch, everything is energy. Touch, smell, taste, everything. So everything has a vibration. So it's interesting to me how all these, you know, visual manifestations are happening, but also that electronic voice phenomena is happening. When I watch that TAP show a lot, they have a lot of things that are caught on.
Okay, that's
cassette tape. Wait, you got to hold on, Mary Ellen. I'm going to finish this train of thought from Dom. So a lot of things are caught on tapes. So I find it interesting. I have actually had a couple clients call me that after I send them their tape, because I record when I do readings, I give them a copy of the tape, they will hear in the background.
Wow.
They will hear whispers in the background. So it's interesting, you know, that there are times when the vibrations are just right, just like tuning your radio dial to bbsradio.com. I'll get a little ad in there. You can get this station. But also when we're communing with spirit, the vibrations happen in a certain way, and sometimes it's caught on tape. What do you want to say, Mary Ellen?
Well, they said they feed on the electronics. That's why they sort of have a white noise. And then what they had to say, it was so amazing on this show, Taps, on Sci-Fi, because it was on last night, too.
Yeah, because I'm always trying to get you to listen to it, and you don't have to get it where you live.
I live in the sticks. Hey, I'd like to talk, too, about energies. Like, I've got if anybody would like to send prayers to my left ears, I've got a little earache going on. I've got a fly tomorrow, and I mentioned it to my friend Trish, but I didn't mention it to Atira. And so Atira, you know, we go to bed, and she calls out from her room, and she goes, I don't understand it. The house is filling up with lots of green energy and little pink hearts. And I said, oh, my gosh, I know what it is. I asked Trish to pray for our health and for our trip, and she must have gone overboard. But what's so cool is, Atira, you could actually see the energy arrive into the house, and that makes it so real for the rest of us.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting, too, because the energy, this green energy, was like if you took a fisherman's net, the green net that you see people fish with, and dipped it in glue and then dipped it in glitter. That's what it looked like, was this energy netting that was being, like, put around you and sent around my house. And so I said, somebody's sending healing. What's going on? And you had had your friend Sid.
Sid, I forgot that.
Yeah, say at 10 o'clock he was going to send healing to you. So that's one of the interesting things that I wanted to talk about, is that healing energy, because I'm teaching a class. And it's been educational for me, because sometimes when you teach, or sometimes when it's your norm to do something, you don't think about how you have to teach it. I mean, how you just think it's your norm. You think everybody does it the way you do it, you know, like bake a cake or whatever,
mm-hmm.
until you start to go teach it or something, or you start asking them to do the same thing that you do, and then all of a sudden you realize, not everybody puts the eggs in first, and you know what I mean?
And not everybody takes the Christmas balls off the tree the same way. I learned that last Christmas watching two different people take the balls off the trees.
Yeah, so sometimes you just think it's common knowledge to do certain things. So one of the things I really want to tell my listening audience is, when you're working with spirit, any spirit, I don't care if you're, praying, if you're getting in your car to go somewhere, if you're starting to develop in a development class with other people, if you're going to sit down and do automatic writing, I don't care what form of metaphysical stuff you're doing to connect with spirit, please, please use white divine light around you. Do a protection prayer, because that energy is there to protect us, because there is negative energy in the room. I actually just had an incredible two-hour discussion with someone back in Lilydale, because we were talking about, negative evil spirits, can you be possessed, all this stuff. And my argument is that, my argument was that energy is energy. So if I'm not a great person here, that I'm cranky and that I'm, a person that does harmful things, just because I die doesn't make me instant saint. It doesn't do that. It doesn't work that way. You still take your personality, your energy with you. So they may be on the other side trying to develop. They may be still longing to be attached to here. And so if you're in a negative space and you dial, guess what? You can get negativity. So please, please use lots of powerful energy and strengthen your energy field around you before you start talking to spirit in any form.
Well, if somebody's a control freak on this side, that wouldn't be the spirit that I'd want to connect to on the other side.
Well, I always say my Aunt Martha makes a mean sugar cookie, but I wouldn't want to call her 1-800-AUNT-MARTHA for financial advice.
Right.
Right. Or to talk to spirit for my highest good, because she wouldn't know. It wouldn't be her forte. She wouldn't have developed that fast. And yet I love her very much, But it's really, so energy, we have all these energy fields. So in this class I was teaching, I said, I would like you to pair off and I'd like you to send energy, healing energy. And I have a ritual, but I have a format I follow. Before, you ask permission and then you ask, their higher self, and you ask, to send energy. So I'm watching the class do this, and you send it. I was having them send it from the palms of their hands, the center of their hands. There's a chakra right there, so from the palms of their hands. So they had their hands up, facing the person. And I'm looking around the room, and all of a sudden this energy just spurts out about 2.5 inches and falls to the floor. And I was like, what? I was so stunned, because
the energy actually leaving the person's hand.
Yeah, the energy came out of the palms of their hands, went out 2 inches, and dripped down like a melting candle.
Can I just want to ask some questions, or I'd love it if callers in would ask questions too, but what does the energy look like? Does it look like vapors or vibrations?
Well, everybody, it depends on what you're sending, what kind of energy you're sending. If you're sending from spirit, if you're mixing your own energy with it, if you've asked our higher self, they'll direct the energy, and it may be different colors for different things, and it may go to different parts of their bodies. So that's a loaded question. That's a whole discussion.
So energy can come from your heart, your mind, your intention, and
energy
all be totally different.
Yeah, energy. Everybody sends energy differently. So for some people, they always come from. I tend to always send from my heart chakra, unless I'm directing it, like I was directing it at someone's injury. Then I'll direct it through my hands. But most of the time, when I'm doing my work, my spirit work and stuff, I'm really directing it from a heart connection or a solar plex connection, depending on the person. Because sometimes I don't want to connect at a heart level because I don't, there's something going on with the other person. Most people connect at a solar plex, a gut level, versus the heart energy.
I see. So this person,
men, a lot of men connect at they'll take it down to their heart, down to their solar plex, bounce it back up, and come from their mind. But they don't come from the third aisle. They come from actually, you know, more of the almost the bridge of the nose.
Well, this person that was sending it out from their hands and it was dropping, could you see? Could you tell if it was coming from their mind? It doesn't sound like
it's
coming from
your heart. It comes from your whole beingness. When we're in a class, I'm directing it. You're pulling. That's why I said I have a series of things you go through. You put your white light up. You line up your chakras. You cleanse your energy so you're not giving them dirty injury. You know, stuff that's stuck to your energy. Then you take that energy and you run it down your chakras back, all the way to the tailbone, bring it back up to heart center, and then you send it out your arms. So it goes across your chest, out both arms, down both arms, and out to the palms. See, now I wouldn't even think to break it down too much because I did for class, but it's true. So that's the pattern we were doing. So it was directed energy because this particular group is working on doing energy healing, absent, present, and absent. So it was directed energy. Did that answer the question?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So anyway, here's this energy going out about 2 inches, dropping down, melting like a candle, and I'm going like, what is that about? You know, that is not, it should be beaming out like Beam Me Up Scotty or like the lightsaber from Star Wars, you know. And so I went over and I started asking the person, you know, talking to both two parties. Well, the first thing was that the person who was going to receive the energy had an incredible shield because they were interested in this, but they were still a little nervous, like, I don't know who this person is. I'm not sure I want to send them. And then first of all, it was kind of hitting the shield and then dripping down.
So literally you can see when people put a shield up from themselves that it is an alive thing. Because see, people like me who don't have gifts like you do, and for the listeners too, it's wonderful when they hear what you see because it makes it real for the rest of us.
Yeah,
we literally, when we put up a shield, we have put up a shield.
Yeah, literally. You know, have you ever tried to talk to somebody who's turned you off?
Like, there's an airplane that just went over again.
I said, have you ever tried to communicate with somebody who's just turned you off, turned your volume
right.
off? It's like, you know, husbands are good at this. Women are good at this at times, too, but husbands tend to have select hearing. It's like that. You know, once you block, you're yah-yahing them. Well, same with when you put your shields up. It really is like putting a shield around you. Invisible egg. It's like being encased to me in a bubble of light. And it's like it hits it, and it's like it's hitting Teflon, and it goes down to the floor.
Wow.
So that was part of it. So she had one person had a shield up. The other part of this is that the person wasn't trusting about the energy very much, so the stream was very weak, so it only, like, it didn't get to go far.
So they didn't really believe they were doing it, probably. They were just participating.
Right, right. A drag-along. They come to my classes now and then, a drag-along, because the wife wants them to, or the husband wants them to, or whatever. So, but the other thing is that I find some energies go out and have a life of their own. One person in this class has done so much energy work. It's like it just goes, it's just amazing. It's like it goes out in a solid beam to about 8 inches from our hands, and then it turns into ribbons, like ribbons of a rainbow.
Oh my.
And it goes, shoots off, you know, okay, if there's a pain in her knee and something in her elbow and something, you know, it was like fireworks. It was great. But this person was like a Reiki master, done a lot of energy work, so really had a handle of it, you know, how to let it do its thing.
So it was like releasing God's energy, like being a vehicle for God to work through you to do whatever somebody else needed.
But that's the key right there, releasing. This person didn't have an ego or an attachment to how the energy worked itself. It knew that its energy has its own consciousness. Her healing force has its own consciousness and knows the needs of the person. Where another person in my class was a control freak. You know, thinks they're, well, they are. They're a good healer. They're a good healer, but it's all about them, and it's all about, you know, they're pretty dramatic about their healing. And it's very controlled. So that energy was very controlled. I mean, and unfortunately, because they're a little overzealous, the energy came out. And this is all important for everybody to understand because I don't let just anybody work on me for this very reason, is that if there's a lot of ego attached, if they think they're doing the work, sometimes their stuff gets in the healing energy because they combine it with theirs, you know? And what happened with this particular person, the way they were directing their energy caused the person to have whatever the injury was agitated before it got better.
Oh,
and sometimes
gosh.
You will have like a healing crisis when you've had a lot of healing work. And anybody that's having any kind of healing work, please, please drink water, because with healing work, there's always a toxin release, and you must like help the fluids by having your fluids up and your electrolytes up to flush your system. But this particular person, although I think they have a lot of talent, it's almost like they overkill. They like if one aspirin would help, two aspirins is better,
mm-hmm.
which is not necessarily true for the person, because sometimes people can't heal or can't accept the healing all in one dose. They have
so
to.
They were
it.
Trying to,
they have to do it
command
in
the healing energy.
Well, they were trying to override the person's body failsafe.
Oh wow!
Level, you know, because it really is true. We have to ask what stage do they need? What level are they at when we're doing any kind of energy work, any kind of body work? I've had incredible massage therapists work on me when I have something going on and go so deep I'm bruised and I can't stand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So a long time ago I learned, no, you don't have permission to do that. You have permission to do work at the level that I physically, emotionally can handle at that time, spiritually can handle at the time.
When the healing energy
remember
went
you're
out,
running your own show, everybody.
But when this healing energy went out from all these different people, did some have a longer sustaining level? When it goes, does it go into somebody's aura or wrap around them, or do you see the vibration on the injury shift?
All of the above. It goes into their auric. Some people only receive by it being filled in their auric field, and they absorb it like a time release capsule. Okay. Other people actually goes into the physical body. I really find master healers that have done like Reiki and Qigong and acupuncture, different kinds of therapies, they sustain incredibly long because they don't use their own energy. They use God, Goddess, all that is in divine energy. They have masters that stand with them and direct them. Eric Pearl's kind of energy, reconnective energy, so many kinds of energy work, we don't even have names for it anymore, that are coming into being. Those kind of practitioners are usually, I would say more than 50% of them are detached from the ego, the self, that they get it's about the work and not about them. And the more it's not about them, or, you know, are they a good job or not good job, because if you're a good healer, guess what? Everybody's going to come to you anyway. You know, you don't need to have the attachment, just like a reader for any part of this metaphysics. So the more we get detached from the ego, then the longer the energy can be abstained. And the most real true healers are not attached to the outcome. They're not attached to how God or spirit works. They're just saying, I'm the vehicle, I'm the instrument. So, you know, some days it might look like Reiki. Sometimes it might be reconnective. Sometimes it might be prayer. Sometimes it might be something else.
This is wonderful. It's like when you're a healer and sending energy out. Actually, I don't even think the people need to be across from you like it was in class or in the same room. You can do that. Like how Trish in Oregon was sending healing energy up to me in Washington State. You can send it around the world. Oh, we all need to pray for the wars and the people.
I think that's very, very true. A few years ago, I actually manifested getting deathly ill because I didn't listen. Please let me tell you something, guys. Listen to your spirit guide. When they say you need some downtime, don't
You scared us.
Yeah, I hate to say it. I'm one of those two. If I'm really busy, I mean, at that time I was like reading 5 days a week, and I was touring, and I was going back to the ARE, and I was like overloaded, and I kept telling you, after this gig, I'll do it. You know, like, after I'm done with the ARE, the Association for Research and Enlightenment, Edgar Casey Foundation, I'll take some downtime. Well, I got my downtime right after that, in bed, not on a beach with my friends in Florida. So don't yeah. But the truth is, it is true that when, and the amazing thing is when I was sick, the prayers that came in, they come in like, probably because now I have kind of I recognize for me that pink energy is love, and that, so that's what I always see, like, prayers as, mm-hmm. almost always pink. And
because people really, when you pray for somebody, you really are sending love from your heart to help the person.
Well, I think that's the emblem or symbol for Valentine's Day. You know, I don't think that's a coincidence or an accident. Mm-hmm. You know, things are symbolic for a reason. So, so first of all, they actually are a physical manifestation of energy that you'll see. And then healing energy comes in differently. Like Reiki can sometimes be very orange to me. And energy for throat, like around the throat, is always very blue, turquoisey blue. I don't, you know, I hate to say this. I don't even think about it because I played the game when I was a kid with Dom so much. What color is that person? That, you know, I mean, it took me until I was in my late 20s to get that I was reading auras or understanding energy and healing in any form.
Well,
I don't consider myself a medical intuitive. It's very different for them. They read, they go organ by organ.
Mm-hmm.
I go by energy.
Yeah, they can see inside the body.
Yeah, like almost like X-ray.
I remember when my daughter was very small and I held up a crayon and I said, "What color is this?" And she just kind of looked at me and she kind of cowered a little bit. And I thought, why is she doing that? And then years later when I met you, I realized she thought I was going to be mad because even though a crayon might be orange, it might have a black aura or it might have a green aura.
Well, one of my favorite stories about it is going grocery shopping. You went grocery shopping with Ariel and what did she tell you?
Oh, yeah, and I would reach for some bread, and she said, no, Mommy, that's got brown energy, and she'd put it back, and she'd pick up a different loaf, which looked just the same to me. Then we'd go over, and we'd be buying vegetables, and she'd say, no, Mommy, that's got black energy or gray energy.
Or she'd tell you, don't buy that one, it has yucky energy.
Yeah, and so she goes, it's a good thing I came shopping with you today, because I got all the live food.
I know, it's amazing, out of the mouths of babes.
So it's interesting, and also if other people have indigo or crystal children like that with the gift like you have and Ariel have, listen to them. Their opinion really is good. They have wisdom beyond their years.
Well, we were actually Doreen Virtue was in Seattle, and so we were actually just at that workshop, and she was talking a little bit about the rainbow kids and the crystal and indigo kids. And, you know, it's just to me, this next generation, thank God for them, because it's true. You know, we hear a lot about indigo kids. And I guess I would say I was probably a precursor because I have almost all the things that she was talking about. But she did talk about that she finds them being very angry because they're angry about how the planet's been treated. So the new crystal kids don't have that anger. They're very concerned about the environment and things, but they have a different level of caring about that. And then the rainbow kids that just get, we're all one planet, we better get it together.
Mm-hmm. That was a fascinating workshop. I remember at the workshop, somebody told me that Kathy has been reading my newsletter for about 8 years, knew that I was going to go, and she wanted to meet me. She was going to look all over for me. And she sent me an email, or her girlfriend told me she was going to be there too. And so I'm going to watch for Kathy. And so what happened was amazing. Her sister came along with her, and they were going to sit in one spot. She said, no, I want to go sit over there in the other side of the aisle. And then when I'm sitting there, I look up, and then there's Kathy right basically.
Right across from you.
Yeah, because we were on the aisle, and she was
tell them there were 600 people, and the odds of that happening were pretty amazing.
And then the other thing that was amazing was Doreen had introduced me as having an Angel Scribe newsletter and how long we'd been friends. And so if anybody else had been in that room, they would have come up to me and said, I'm receiving your newsletter. And they didn't. But the one lady right behind Kathy, right next to the aisle with us, she'd been reading the newsletter for 2 years. So it's amazing, literally, how like attracts like that.
Well, it's all about energy, too. You know, if you put out the vibes and you want to experience things, the more you put it out into your energy, the more that kind of things happen, you
mm-hmm.
know, the synchronicities. I want to go back to this energy thing. So I want to talk about the next exercise in the class was to send to someone who's not there. So I asked them to, you know, ask the person's permission on a higher level, look at their watch, write down what time it was, okay, and start sending energy. And I asked them to start with a prayer and to then send energy for, you know, whatever the highest good. What if you knew, you know, the person's having back surgery or whatever the experience is, whatever's going on in their life. Sometimes it's not about physical, sometimes it's emotional healings we need. So I had them do this, and then I told them at this, the same time for 3 days to do this exercise, and then call the person to have a little conversation, see what's happening. So it's a very amazing some of the things that come out of that. Like one person said, oh, exactly at that time I really had a feeling I needed to go lay down. And I laid down for 20 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and that their ankle that's been bothering them for 3 weeks is, boom, it's fine. Another one said that they had an aunt who was having cataract surgery. And the now they do one eye at a time when they have cataract surgery done.
Oh, interesting.
And so the aunt was having cataract surgery, so it was actually strengthening everything so the surgery would go well. And then she did the same practice exactly at the time the aunt was in the surgery and stuff. And the doctor came out and he says, I've never had anything go so smooth in my life.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Because it's just so extreme. And he says, had told her evidently it was, it would help, but it wasn't going to be the big aha because there was other complications with his eye. And the lady has, really quick vision. She's like, I'm so happy.
Well, remember that time I had cancer, in case you forgot, and I was invited by one of the newsletter readers to go down to California to see a healer. And when I walked in, the man looked at me and said, who are you? What do you do? I've never seen anybody with so many angels around them. And then as he started to work on me, I could literally feel him in my aura. It was literally like he was almost pinching my skin. It was amazing, but it was a loving, kind energy. And then he says again, who are you? He said, so many people are praying for you. But I had put on the newsletter that I would be there, but you also knew it. And you went into meditation at the exact same time as my appointment and tell them what you told Dom to do.
You always catch me off guard, honey. I can't remember all these things. Good thing you're writing them down.
Well, you walk around your life in a trance. That's the problem.
Well, you
said to Dom,
I pray so much. I don't even think about it.
I know. What is so normal for you? Whatever that man is doing, that healer is doing, you ask Dom to magnify 100 times. And so that's what he was actually feeling, that energy, too, because he was as sensitive as you were.
Right.
I'm sad to say that I've lost touch with that man. I don't know what's happened to him since then.
Hopefully he's listening to the radio and he'll get in touch with you. But, I really want to say also, so you can send physical healing, absolutely. But emotional healing for some of us is so important. I have to tell you, people, please, please know that your prayer for anyone or your healing or sending intent for someone to heal from, a broken marriage, from a loss of a job, from a loss of some family member, all the process that we go through in our life, emotional healing sometimes is the hardest because, we get in that rut, we get in that pity pot, we get in that, oh, my God stuff, and we really keep playing the 45 mm-hmm. over and over in our brain. Don't play your 45. We don't play 45 records anymore. Why? We have CDs. They hold a lot more, so watch out. But change the music. Change things. Start, cleaning your cosmic basin, cleaning out the emotional debris field, because it will make a huge difference in your energy and how clear your energy is to send and receive. The other wonderful thing is when you practice doing healing work, remote healing, I always do it actually every day with I actually pray for all my clients before I read for them, but I also tend to do healing. I have healing books at our church, and I also have a ribbon where I put people's names on it, and it's almost my healing rosary. And so I do that at least 2 or 3 times a day. And if I'm upset about something, I will go and take a few minutes to do a meditation or prayer to get rid of negative energy and sit down and say, dear spirit, let me work, let me be of service, and I'll do my ribbon. And it really is important to do things like that because, the truth is we came here to teach love in all its forms. And there's not a bigger gift than you can give somebody is to heal. And when you're doing healing on somebody else, you get healed. You get healed at a huge emotional level. I've seen people be so depressed and have issues, and I say, well, who have you prayed for today? And I'm not in a Christian way, in a spiritual way, I don't think you have to, go to a church or go light a candle every day for somebody. I think you can do it wherever you are.
I saw you do it at the bank today. Remember that lady that was in line and you didn't know how to approach her, but you received direct information that would be a benefit to her?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Sometimes, like, Dom will give me information. It's like, oh, gosh. Today I was in line at the bank, and Dom started talking to me about this lady, you know, is leaving a really bad relationship. And I said, oh, great. Well, how do I bring that up? And nice hair day. What about that relationship? You can just do that. So I started out with, like, oh, she had an unusual, beautiful top. And I said, oh, that's a great top, you know. And she goes, oh, she bought it where she works. And I said, oh, okay. And I said, you know, it's a beautiful day. And I said, isn't it so funny? People are having all these relationship problems. And she looked at me, burst into tears. And I said, my knees have really been going through something lately. So I, like, you know, fudge a little bit because I could use somebody. And then it opened the door for me to be able to help her, you know. So that was
wonderful.
My first miracle today, yeah. But it's hard sometimes. You know, they'll give you information. It's like, oh, great. You don't understand. You can't just walk up and say, well, I understand your dad passed away, you know, to a perfect stranger. It's like,
Pardon me, but I'm psychic and I've just listened to your aura. But that's the other thing, too. You're only seeing what their spirit will allow.
Yeah, I don't do an invasive woo-woo, you know, because I do readings, you know, when people come into my space, but it is a permission thing. When I know someone's in pain and someone's hurting, something's going on, and Spirit tells me, the first question is their higher self okay with this?
Mm-hmm.
I don't do invasive woo-woo. I've had it done to me. I don't like it. I don't think anybody likes it. So I don't like it to go to affairs or go to the body, mind, spirit or go to any of these events and have someone kind of come up to prove they're a good reader.
Well, somebody did that to my daughter.
I'm offended by it, actually.
Yeah. Well, my daughter was 9 years old, and somebody told her something that I think three other psychics, and you were one, said she's not supposed to know her destiny. She's just supposed to be watched like a beautiful rose, you know, as she blooms.
Mm-hmm.
And this other person says, when you grow up, you're going to be blah, blah, blah. And my daughter leans over and whispers in my ear, she goes, Mommy, I wasn't supposed to know that. It's like she even knew she wasn't supposed to know.
I think, too, the reason I want to talk about the energy, healing energy and stuff is, too, please, you know, I encourage my listeners and my clients, everyone, please know. Hopefully you don't go to a phone book, close your eyes, and throw a dart to get a doctor or a lawyer or a dentist. Usually they're referred by a friend or, you check them out, make some phone calls, you know, go see what you feel about in their office. You wouldn't just put your body in the care of just anybody. It's the same when you're working with spirit, when you're going to a healer, when you're going to a psychic, anything. Ask their credentials. Ask their references. Read them. Do they resonate with you? Really, you know before you go. You have a cosmic responsibility in this kind of stuff. I had a client call me for a reading, and I said, man, I really don't want to do this reading. There's something like, But Dom said, no, you need to do it because the doesn't have to do with you. So I did the reading, and then I found out the lady had been taken for something like $30,000 by negligent, nasty psychics. And I sent her a check back. I wouldn't charge her. I don't believe in that. I don't think we're here to rip off the world. I'm so offended by that kind of thing. But you have a personal responsibility, too. She should have never been able to be sucked in that bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If someone says, you need to pay me $5,000 so I can take the curse off you, run like heck.
I think so when people have been abused a lot in their life, when they meet somebody like that, resonate with them, and they don't understand, the abuse is just continuing on, but with a different face and a different method.
Well, I know, and some other people that, you know, we were talking about this amongst ourselves, several psychics, and someone says, well, what if that's their karma? And I said, you know what? Free will can out bowl karma any day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really believe that we have free will, and if you ask your angels, guides, and masters, you don't have to suffer those things. That you can work out your karma on a soul level, on an energy level. You don't always have to take the cosmic 2x4.
That's true. Hey, I wanted to say something to the listeners, because I'm not sure what time the show ends today.
I know, we're kind of off schedule a little bit due to technical difficulties. And thank you all the listeners, everyone, for bearing with us, because BBS is really working hard on your behalf. And, you know, anytime we're dealing with electronicals, especially with as many clairvoyants and psychics as they've got on board for them, you're going to have technical difficulties, so thank you for your patience.
Well, the first thing I want to say is we know you guys are listening because you email us afterwards, and most people say that they don't want to call because they're having so much fun listening, giggling in their kitchen or at their computer. But the other thing is I'm with a tier up in Seattle, and for those of you who read the newsletter about Mr. Perfect or Pussycat, I have new photos of the prince, and so when I get back, I will be putting a newsletter out with Mr. Perfect's photo on her, and he has gained weight. He's 3 times bigger than he used to be, and just the story how he came into Atira's life, it's posted on the website around the December 26th newsletter, and it's called Going Home for Christmas, and there's a picture of his before picture when he's so spent, and I had no idea until I'd seen him when I got up here. Atira, he's gained twice his body weight. His personality is twice as nice as it was when he was sick, even.
And I'm checking your suitcases when you go home. You have 5 cats. You don't need mine.
We'll have you rewrite your will and put them in there for me.
Mary Ellen, thank you so much for being with us today. I just appreciate it. I know we'll have great stories when we come back, so I hope that my listeners will be really excited and willing to have her back on in end of July for an update of Atira and Mary Ellen on the road.
That's right. Hey, and Richard Show is going to be on the next show, too.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that. The show after mine is called Higher Dimension with Phyllis Pricer. Lovely, lovely lady. And she is having Richard Scholler from New York. He's an incredible medium. So I think it's totally worth a listen up. He's an amazing, amazing man. Taught many, many classes. Phyllis is a lovely clairvoyant, has worked and been involved with the ARE and several other organizations in Arizona. So, you know, stay tuned and get excited and get more information. I have to say it's almost an addiction once you wake up and become spiritual. It's like, feed me more, I want more, you know. And so having the opportunity to have VBS Radio where you can get nourished and you can get more information is so wonderful. There is such an amazing gambit of people with different talents, mediums, clairvoyants, angel readers. You know, there's so many. And I want to say this. I've been involved in this stuff 25 years, and I've seen it. You know, I've seen it all, as they say. And you know, this group is very lovely because there's not that. You get more of this, and I get more of that, or whatever. There's no competition. It really is for the highest good of everybody, and everybody's talent is different. And they're going to do a cruise. We're all excited. They're going to do a cruise. There's over 55 hosts on BBS Radio. And they're only taking 15, so I've got my wings crossed. I hope I'm one of them. But please check their page to see about it. It's going to be in January. It's going to be someplace warm, which will be where we'll all be ready for after winter. So, Mary Ellen, thank you again. Make sure you hang on and hear Richard Scholler with Phyllis Pricer. And I have had a wonderful time talking to you about my favorite subject, and that is spirit. And just know that you are all so much, so divinely wrapped in love. So, you know, if you're having a little dark night of the soul or bad day at the cosmic office, whatever's going on in your life, just know that, look down at your feet, hun. You all have ruby slippers on, and there's no place like home, and spirit is home, this side or the other. So make sure that you connect to that energy, connect to God, Goddess, all that is, assert your favorite deity, and keep wrapped in the wings of your angels till we talk again. Lots of blessings. Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.